Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest for this segment is Melinda Booth of the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Just fine. Thanks so much for having me. Really excited about this year's Wild and Scenic Film Festival.
No, man, I'll tell you, it's going to be a little different this year. The 19th annual Wild and Scenic Film Festival, where activism gets inspired. It's going to be all virtual this year. And the good news about that is you can extend the event longer than you have in the past. This year's event is going to be January 14th through the 24th. Details are online at wildandscenicfilmfestival.org. I always like to start at the beginning, Melinda. How did you guys come up with the name Wild and Scenic?
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, we have a pretty interesting history. So the Wild and Scenic Film Festival is a program of the river conservation organization called the South Yuba River Citizens League. We refer to ourselves affectionately by our acronym pronounced CIRCLE. CIRCLE was founded back in 1983 by a bunch of community members who were fighting some proposed dams on the South Yuba River. And that fight, which took 16 years, was ultimately successful. Back in 1999, the South Yuba River was designated a wild and scenic river at the state level. And so that forever protected it from dams and development. And thus, when we decided we wanted to create an environmental film festival that would help raise funds for the organization, First Circle, we decided to call it Wild and Scenic in honor of that big success, that big hard-won success.
I always have trouble with the acronym, remembering what it stands for. South Yuba River Citizens League.
Correct. And, you know, it's a great name. It's a long one. But, you know, we're so much more than the South Yuba River Citizens League today. We work watershed-wide. So we work on the North Fork, the Middle Fork, and the South Fork of the Yuba River, plus the main stem. And we even do work on the Bear River. So we're working at such a larger scale, 37 years since our founding. It's become quite an organization. And Wild and Scenic is just one of our many programs.
You guys do great work, no question about it. All right, we're here to talk about the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. What is this year's theme, and how does it relate to the films that are being shown?
Our theme this year is Resilient by Nature. And we came up with this theme before COVID was really even a thing, if you can believe it or not. We saw the need for resiliency in our lives unfolding more and more as the year went on. We realized that the theme just ended up kind of hitting the nail on the head, if you will, unfortunately.
Right.
But it's Resilient by Nature, and, you know, it does relate to the films being shown in the programming. We have several different tracks of films that folks can watch, and so we actually created one that is specific to the theme. It's called Resilient by Nature, and so we created some, like I said, tracks and different ways that people can select the kind of films that they want to watch based on a theme or a genre, if you will.
Right.
So whether it's about people continuing on in the face of adversity or nature triumphing no matter what is put in its path and sort of nature coming out on top, there's all kinds of different and varied interpretations of that theme. So there's a lot of different ways to think about it. But a lot of the programming that you'll see, both films and otherwise, I think we'll talk about some of the other activities besides film, relate back to that theme of resilience by nature. So it's about people and it's about the environment. There was no way that we knew that the theme that we selected would resonate as strongly as it has with our daily lives.
Yeah, it worked out just perfect, didn't it?
It sure did. It sure did.
Well, the poster art is always something special. So what's the poster going to be like this year, and who did the artwork for Resilient by Nature?
We worked with an incredibly talented artist. Her name is Steph Littlebird Fogel. She's an Indigenous artist. She's a writer. She's a maker. She lives up in Portland, Oregon. Her artwork really mixes her own tribal traditions with contemporary materials and subject matter. And so we got to know Steph through another partner of ours at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, if you can believe that or not, and realized that we wanted to ask her if she would be willing to do the artwork for 2021. And she said yes, and she created original art that you'll see on our poster if folks want to check it out online. It's on our website. It's just really incredible. It's really vivid colors and strong imagery.
I just happened to be looking at the website this morning, and it is pretty incredible. And speaking of the website, wildandscenicfilmfestival.org, you always have some amazing films, too. How do you decide on the films, Melinda?
It's quite a process, and we have an open submission process, so anybody who wants to can submit a film for consideration. And then we also are out there, our staff is out there looking and seeking for what they would consider the best film of the year to include in our programming. And then we pull together a panel of close to a dozen people, our selection committee, who are watching these films and rating them based on certain criteria. And so we try to have every film that's under consideration watched by at least three people, because it's good to have different viewpoints.
Sure.
And then we ultimately come together and make the decision on the final film. So it's quite a process. Our festival director, Jess Swagonski, is tasked with watching all the films. So that's a big, big job, but we think it's really important to have at least one person who's seen everything, because we want to have different and varied opinions, but to actually curate and pull together the programming in the way that we do, to have that one individual who's seen the whole option makes for the best curated experience for our audience and our experience.
Right. That makes it the best for all of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
With a pandemic, of course, the festival is entirely virtual this year. So how does that work? How do tickets work?
That's a great question. Everything is online, and tickets are available at wildandscenicfilmfestival.org, and you can choose from a variety of ways to experience the fest. So if you've been to the fest in person in the past, you'll know that we group films together in what we call a session. So you may see 3 to 5 films in a given 2, 2.5 hour session. And we've created this experience in the same way. So you can buy a ticket to just one session online, or you can buy like a 5-pack of tickets so that you could watch 5 different sessions of curated films, or you can buy a pass that will allow you to access everything that we have, the entire fest. We call it a watershed pass, so you can have that basic all-access pass as well. So there's really something for everybody, whether you're just able to attend one session of films, or 10 or 20.
That's one thing I've noticed through the years, too. You guys do a great job on the sessions like that. And like you said, it's good for everybody. If you want to see one session, if you want to see the entire thing, you have it covered right there. wildandscenicfilmfestival.org. Now, since it's online, do I need to be in California to take part? How's that work, Melinda?
Well, that's one of the things that's actually really cool about having a virtual festival, is it in a lot of ways makes it more accessible to more people over a greater geographic area. And
sure.
So we love to bring people together in person, but this year it's going to allow anybody from anywhere to participate. So you don't have to be in California to experience the fest, to answer your question. With a couple of caveats, there's a few sessions that are limited. We have a session that we do, a locals only night, and that's actually one of the things that it's called geo-blocking. So actually you can only access it if you're in Nevada County. And it's crazy technology that basically knows where your computer is. And if you're not in Nevada County, you can't access it. So there's a couple of things like that that we've done,
sure,
special events. But for the most part, you can be anywhere to access almost any program.
As long as you have an internet connection, right?
As long as you have an internet connection. And you know, that is a challenge in rural America. Not everybody has amazing internet. So, you know, apologies in advance if you're one of those folks who doesn't have the best internet connection for streaming. What we've done for that, we've partnered with some local hotels if people want to do little staycations and they can go and use their internet. That's one of the challenges, but for the most part, we think bringing it online is actually going to be more inclusive.
Right. What else is there to do besides seeing films this year?
Oh my gosh. Well, believe it or not, there's a whole lot. So One of the things that we incorporate into our festival are called activist workshops, and we are going to be bringing those into the virtual space as well. So those are free and available to anybody. You don't have to have a ticket, and you can pop online and watch them live. And there's six different workshops plus one that's focused on youth. The descriptions, again, all online. And then you can also then, let's say you're unable to make the time when they're live, we record them and make them available. So you can actually pick them up later on and watch them at your convenience, which is a plus as well. We have a virtual Enviro Fair. So if you want to learn a little bit more about a topic that you hear about in these films, head on over to our virtual Enviro Fair and you can find out about organizations locally and globally doing the good environmental work that you're learning about and learn how to be involved and engaged or get your questions answered. We have an environmental art exhibition. So we've curated some of the best art and mostly related to our theme, Resilient by Nature. And we have artists from all over the country as far as Brazil and British Columbia. So we have an online gallery. So you can scroll through the artwork and learn more about the art and the artists. And a lot of the art is actually for sale as well. It's an environmental film fest. We're an environmental river conservation organization. The name is Wild and Scenic. We want people to get outside. That's a big part of what we think is meaningful, is connecting with nature. This year, we've created some self-guided excursions. We often have group outings that we put together to get people outside during the festival. We've created self-guided excursions to encourage people to get outside. We're having a virtual auction as well. And we talked about our artists, Steph Vogel, and she's going to do a live painting online as well. So you can check that out and watch her create something original and unique for the fest that will then be auctioned off as well. So there's a lot of different things other than film that you can engage in.
Wow, that's incredible. And that'll be fun to watch her paint live too.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, that's going to be great. And you mentioned the youth as well. Touch on that a little bit more, Melinda. What do you have up your sleeve for the youth this year?
Sure. So we have a really neat school program that we've curated. We curate three different programs of film with associated curriculum, and they go out into the schools. And so we have those for any school that really wants to participate. We can, normally kids would come to us. Well, we get to take the film to them this year, so there's more opportunity for any student, whether homeschooled or part of a classroom. There's lots of ways for them to participate. So those curated school programs for K through 12. We have a youth workshop that we're doing that's aimed at high school students. We have family-friendly film screenings, and we mark those, so there's some that we'd really recommend for all ages. And then we also engage youth from our community to help select the best children's films. So we have a kids jury, and they get to watch all of our youth programming and select award winners.
That's going to be great. You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Melinda Booth. We're talking about the 19th Annual Wild and Scenic Film Festival. It's going to be virtual this year. It starts this Thursday, January 14th, and runs through the 24th. And you can get all the details online at wildandscenicfilmfestival.org. What about the state we're in right now, Melinda? Are there some films that relate directly to California issues?
Oh, certainly there are. We have several. One, we have a world premiere that I'll mention called River's End, California's latest water war. And so it's talking about water issues in California. And not only is that a world premiere film that we're excited to screen, we have a really great live panel discussion following the film with Congressman Jared Huffman, Chief Kayleen Sisk of the Winnemem-Wintu Tribe, John Rosenfeld, the San Francisco Baykeeper, and it's moderated by the LA Times writer Bettina Boxhall. So we've brought in some really amazing folks to not only, you can watch a film, learn something about what's going on in California, and then talk to the folks involved in the issue after the fact, which is pretty cool. So that's a California-centric film, and one I think folks would be interested in. We have another film, Rise Beyond Gold, which is about the proposed reopening of the Idaho-Maryland gold mine up here in Nevada County. We have two films that focus on paradise, and one's called Rebuilding Paradise, about the campfire and the efforts to rebuild the community after the catastrophic wildfire two plus years ago. There's another short that's just a beautiful artistic film, really. It's called A Message from the Future of Paradise, about rebuilding the community as well. We have a film about food efforts in our local community to connect people with healthy local food, and another called The Hidden Bear, which is about the Bear River, which is in our neck of the woods here in, you know, the Sacramento up to Nevada County region, and impacts to that river should a proposed dam move forward.
All right. The one question a lot of our listeners are wondering right now, what are some of the must-see films this year in the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, Melinda?
Oh, Doug, you kill me with that, because it's like, it's like, which child is your favorite? It's
right.
Such a hard question to answer.
It's Melinda's choice.
It's okay. It's Melinda's choice. Well,
not to be confused with Sophie's choice, you know. Yeah.
No, this is all good.
Which is your favorite river, Melinda?
Oh, Doug, you're killing me.
I'm just kidding. We won't go there.
So certainly, there's a lot of films that are not to be missed. And I'll just throw out there, I think one of the films that I watched this year that I'm going to talk about is called Overland. And I loved it because I just fell in love with one of the characters that they portrayed. And I thought, wow, I want to meet this woman. I want her to be my friend. And I realized she was just such an incredible person, and it focuses on birds of prey, so that's kind of all I'll say there, but it's Overland, and I really loved it, and the character development and portrayal was really wonderful in that film, so I love that. There's another film that I found very moving called The Last Ice, which is about up in the Arctic region and near Greenland, and some of the issues we have with global climate change and some of the impacts to the indigenous communities in that region, that I cried, I laughed, I was hopeful. It evoked emotion for me, and that's something that I really look for in a film. That's a good film.
It's always great when you walk out of a movie and your arms are tingling and you think, oh my goodness, that was amazing.
Yeah, and we have a lot of films that I think are maybe hard and deal with challenging subject matter, but that are ultimately hopeful. And that's really important, because We have to keep our hope.
Right, right. Think positive. All right, Melinda, this is my first Wild and Scenic Film Festival experience. What do I need to know to maximize my experience?
Well, for our virtual edition this year, I think your best bet is to pop online, and we have like the How to Fest, a little how-to guide for you.
So
it navigates you through. I think our platform is really easy to use. But, you know, there's always a couple hiccups. You got to just, like, figure it out. And as soon as you realize, like, three things, it all falls into place, and it's super easy to navigate and use. But I think one of the best things to know is that much of the programming is on demand, which means you can watch it whenever you want, which
nice.
Is a real perk.
Yeah.
But there are a few things that are limited or live or only available at certain times. So just to kind of look through the programming, figure out what's exciting to you? Is there anything in particular that you want to make sure you do? And then note whether it's an on-demand, which means you can check it out anytime you want during the 11 days of the fest, or if it's a live event, because we'd hate for you to miss something. So it's a combination of the two, and that's probably a big takeaway.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about working with you guys is your website is tremendous. I highly recommend our listeners go there right now, take a look at it, and get yourself ready, because the festival is going to start this Thursday, and you want to be prepared. And like you said, you've got a how-to right there on the website.
Yeah, and you know what I think is really neat this year? It's a new feature, obviously, since it's a virtual feature. But let's say, Doug, you go in and you're watching a session of film, and you think, oh my goodness, this was incredible. I love this film. And you know what? My friend Dave would really appreciate this film. I think he needs to see it. You can go in there and you can buy that film session and send it to Dave via email. You can gift it
right there
in that platform.
You wow.
know, just a couple of clicks. And then Dave can have this experience thanks to your generosity.
That's fantastic. I love that.
It's pretty cool.
Now, Melinda, one of the highlights of the past is being able to interact with the filmmakers and the activists. How are we going to be able to do that this year?
Right. So that is a big perk in the in-person film festival world. And so we've done our best to try to create some opportunities to engage this year. So we have happy hours every day from 5 to 6.
Count me in.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
I mean, you got to bring your own drink.
You had me at happy hour.
Yeah, 5 to 6. So a lot of those will have some special guest appearances by filmmakers, so it's a great place to pop in. We also are having our media lounge, so we're turning our media lounge into a virtual space where we have interviews with filmmakers and folks who are featured in the film, and so that's another place where you can go and engage. And a lot of the films afterwards, we will have filmmaker Q&A. So we do that in person. We're continuing that tradition with our virtual event. So afterwards, you can hear some words from the filmmakers. They introduce their film, and not all of them are going to be live where you get to engage, but a lot of them are. So you can generally ask questions and comment.
Yeah, that's great.
Those Q&As. Mm-hmm. And then our workshops as well.
Yeah, that's one thing we've all had plenty of Zoom time, so we're all very familiar with the technology, and so you'll probably be able to chat questions to the filmmakers as well, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, good deal. What about local filmmakers? Any locals featured this year?
We always have a session every year called Local Love, and it's one of our most popular sessions where we feature films either made by local filmmakers or about issues in our local region, and oftentimes it's both things, both local filmmakers about local issues. And so we will have that again this year. So the Local Love session will be featured prominently, and will also then be recorded, and you can watch it on demand.
All right. It's early on a Sunday morning, and I've never heard of the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, but I'm interested. So tell me, let's see, I'm just tuning in the radio. I'm just grabbing my first cup of coffee. What are you talking about, and how can I maximize my experience?
Well, we'd love for you to come join us at the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. This is our 19th annual film fest, and we feature environmental and adventure films that tell stories to inspire activism. Our tagline is where activism gets inspired. So there's stories to educate and to engage and to inspire. And if you check us out online at wildandscenicfilmfestival.org, you'll be able to get involved in whatever way makes sense for you. There are tickets for sale on a sort of one-off basis, or you can buy a pass to the whole shebang, or you can enjoy a lot of our free programming as well. Something for everyone.
What about backstage passes? No, I'm just kidding. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Melinda Booth is the executive director of the South Yuba River Citizens League, the 19th annual Wild and Scenic Film Festival, all virtual this year. It starts this Thursday, January 14th, and runs through the 24th, wildandscenicfilmfestival.org. Thank you so much for your time, Melinda.
Thanks, Doug. Take care.
You've been listening to The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, email sacpsa@entercom.com, sacpsa@entercom.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Have a great Sunday, and thanks for listening.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.